All right, let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 13 and starting in verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" They were offended at him, but Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Keep your finger there in Matthew. Well, you don't have to keep your finger. We can look in Mark. We're going to stay in Mark. Go to Mark now. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and let's look at the first six verses. Again, a parallel passage. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages, teaching.'" All right, here it says where Jesus was. Where was Jesus? What does the passage say? The second verse we read, and the first passage, and then the first verse here. What does it say about where he was? In his own country. All right, where is his own country? He's talking about the area right around Nazareth, okay? And so let's come in here. Let's look at Nazareth. We see the Middle East here. And, of course, I've got Nazareth highlighted, where we're talking about that Nazareth is right here, okay? So you can see that it's in what region that we've been looking at? The region of Galilee. Galilee up north, what was in the center? We've got Samaria, and then down south, we have Judea, okay? At least Judea is the terminology around Jesus' time. Judea and Judah back in the Old Testament. So we have those three regions. Nazareth is up in the area of Galilee, okay? All right, where was Jesus when we left him last? I know it's been a few weeks. Jesus was right up here in this area. We have Capernaum, and then he went from probably somewhere in here. He went over to the other side, probably somewhere in here, and cast the demons out of the pigs. And then it says that he went on to the other side, and probably is sent somewhere over here. It's going to be about 20 miles in which Jesus goes, and we find him back in his own country. And so he comes back. What do you think about going back to your own country? For some of you, your own country is right here. How many of you, raise your hand, how many of you, this area is your main place? You were born somewhere in proximity in this region of Pennsylvania. Raise your hand if you're from this area. Okay, so a fair amount of you are from this area, and it would be silly to ask how many of you are not from this area. It would be the other people, right? Okay, so everybody else would say, "Yeah, I'm not from this area." Okay, but you have your own place. Some of you grew up right here in maybe even Mount Joy, or Elizabethtown, or somewhere close, Mannheim, and somewhere right around here. And this is your, what we call your stomping grounds. You know the places. You grew up with the people. You can tell stories about the classmates that you went to school with, and they're still around here, and they're there. And you see them, you know, when you go to Kmart, and you run into them when you go here. Some of your, this is your own country. For some of you, your own place is other areas. Some of you, it's other places of Pennsylvania, maybe a few hours away or several hours away. Many of you are maybe even from other states, and you have other places where it was your place. This was Jesus' place, where he spent a fair amount of time here growing up, and of course working with his father as a carpenter, and so he knew a lot of people here. They were familiar with him. It's always fun to go back home. Now, I know that when I say that, some of you are like, oh, I don't like home. But for the most of you, probably you'd say, you know what, you enjoy going back to the places where you grew up. Of course, I grew up in Wyoming, and I always love the opportunity to go back as long as it's not in the winter. And I say that not because of the cold. I say it because we get sick every time. Every single time we go back to that place in the winter, we go back. I have zero desire to go back in the winter. None. Because every time it seems disastrous. But we always like to go back to visit home. We like to go back to see the people. When I go in the stores, and I'm not a store person, I always like to go to the stores, but I'll tell you, when I do go in, I'm always looking for people, looking for classmates, looking for somebody that I knew. Enjoy going back and seeing where I grew up. I know the ins and outs of the city of Rock Springs. I know the place like the back of my hand, just like you do know the places where you grew up. You know what? Home is a special place, and we care about those places. I've spent a lot of time thinking about the people that I went to school with. I think about some of the teachers that I had and some of the people that have never left, you know, home. I think it's that way. We tease people on this side of the Mississippi that they've never been to the other side. And you know what? It's the same everywhere you go. They're out there and they've never been out here, and they never will. I've got an uncle and aunt they've hardly made it, except for a business trip or something like that, hardly made it outside of Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, right in that area. They just don't really go anywhere besides that. And so this is foreign. This is another country. This is another place. And some of you are kind of like that as well. But, you know, home is a special place. The people and the places that you grew up in. We see here that he came into his own country. So he makes the trip. He travels about 20 miles and he goes home. You know, I can't tell you exactly what Jesus did when he entered, you know, when he finally went through, you know, was there city gates of Nazareth? Was there whatever? But, you know, he got to that place and it's almost like you can smell those familiar smells. You know, if you grew up in Elizabethtown, you smell the chocolate, you know, or the surrounding. If you grew up, you smell. Maybe you were raised on a farm around here. And, of course, you know the smells of the farm and they are familiar to you and you appreciate it. You know the place. And you know, I don't know if Jesus, when he got into that place, is almost like, here I am. I've come home. And of course, Jesus went there and he went there on his father's business. Right now in Jesus' ministry, he's all about what his father commissioned him to do. He really is. He's not really just going home to get the local food and eat the, you know, the homegrown corn that, you know, he was raised on. He's not going home to pass some time with his relatives. Honestly, Jesus is entering the region because he cares about his home folk. He cares about the people that he grew up with. He cares about those neighbors. Maybe there was another group of carpenters and the local union of carpenters that were around there that worked together. And I'm being funny when I say that, but the group of people that maybe bought their wood projects or their things or the things that they constructed, you know, maybe he was excited about sharing the kingdom of God with those people. Well, what happened when Jesus went to his own country? Did you take note of what happened there? We look in these six verses. Did the people recognize him? They did. They said, "This is who is this?" And you know, they heard these things. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah? They recognized him. But what does it say at the end of verse 3? And they were offended. They were offended at him. Kind of an amazing thing. We're going to talk about this offense probably next week. And the situation with going home to your own people. But before I discourage you, I want to see the positive part. And we're going to look at the positive part tonight. And I don't want next week to be discouraging, but I just want to look at the reality of it, though. Because it can be difficult when we go back to our own people. But what I want us to look about tonight is what Jesus did. Where did Jesus go? He went to his own country. He went to his own people. You know what? We all have our own stomping grounds, as I just mentioned. Think back just for a moment to the relatives that you grew up with. You know, the cousins that you played with all the time out in the woods or on the in the field and out at the farm. Remember those people. And some of you right now are reminiscing. You're going back and you're remembering. Maybe for some of you just a few years. Maybe some of you, you know, 20, 30 years. And even some of you are looking back, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 years, whatever it was, and you're thinking and you're remembering about those neighbors. Do you remember the neighbor that you had next door? Either way, people across the street, if you're out in the country, you remember the farm that was next and closest to you? Remember the people that you rubbed shoulders with? I want you to think about the friends that you went to school with. Think about those, you know, there's some mischievous individuals that were in the class, you know, they were the ones that brought the lizards and the snakes and put them under the teachers, you know, whatever. And you're thinking about those, and then you think about the others that they were the really good students. And boy, you like to sit next to them. And then there were the others that were really quiet and shy. Maybe there was others that got in trouble a lot. You remember back to those friends that you had in school. Maybe they were friends that you had just in the community. Maybe you played sports with or you... that you hung out with, you went to the ice cream shop with, and you spent time with. Think about those people just for a moment. Remember your family that you spent so much time with and growing up. I remember family was very important growing up, and I only as I've gotten older, I miss it so much. Do you miss your family and the times that you had when you were growing up? I do. It was something special that I say I'll never get back. I will, but it will be within my own family now. I remember the first few years that we were married. I struggled. Melissa, remember, I struggled so bad at Christmas time, not having all the same traditions that I was back at home. I wanted to go back and be a child again. I wanted to be there and have mom and dad, you know, have all the neat things that they had for us at Christmas and do it. And I realized, you know, once I got out of school and I got married that there wasn't those same things. Now I was an adult. Now I was responsible. Now I was to start these same traditions. And so it's something that we look back. But I tell you what, I treasured those family times. We're thinking back to our own country, our own places where we grew up. You know, according to this passage, and I mentioned we'll talk maybe about this next week, but you know, it can be tough. There may be few results. But from the perspective in which we're talking about, notice, do you think that Jesus knew what these people were going to do and how they would respond? Of course he did. Did he stay away, though? No, he went. Now, you're going to find that this is probably when they rejected Jesus. Jesus always went where there was fertile soil. And if his home turf, his own people weren't going to accept him, he's going to go find somebody else that needed him. You know, and probably this is one of the last times that Jesus goes to his home place. But I'll tell you one thing, and this is what I want you to get tonight. He cared about his own place. He cared enough to go. You've just spent some time thinking back to those people which you've grown up with. Before I go on to the next point, I want you to think just for a moment. Have you tried to go back? When I say go back, for some of you, it's here. But have you gone back to some of those people? Have you gone back to share with them the good news of the gospel? Have you shared with them the truth? I've been burdened and convicted. You know, I went to school with a lot of people, and I was being in sports and all that stuff. I knew a lot of those people. Of course, once I got out of high school, I got into college, I moved, you know, I for the most part went for the next 5 years to Wisconsin and went to school at Maranatha. And I never really came back. Except for those 2 years, Melissa and I were back there and we were there for 2 years and then we moved out here. And a lot of those people, some of them were around, some of them were not. But you know what, I look back at those and I think back about some of those teammates, some of those classmates, some of those teachers. I've been burdened. Should I try? Should I do something to reach out? Because that was my home. That was my home. What have you done to reach out to those people that you grew up with? I think it's worth following Jesus and trying to reach out. We're gonna make application with this here in just a moment, but let's look at the next element that we see here. Not anything new here, still with the same thing that he came into his own country. The fact of the matter is I have you, I've had you reminisce back to a place maybe that you used to be, but now for everybody, things have changed. Even if you grew up within 1 mile of this building or where you live right now, things have still changed, haven't they? There's new homes. There's new neighbors. There's friends that have passed on. There's still friends that are hanging on. But all of our lives have changed a little bit. None of us can go home today or tonight and it was the way it was when you were 15. None of you. But now, isn't it true though that you have your own home now? Right now, today in 2019, October, what's the date today? 13th? October 13th, 2019. You all have your own home now. It might not be the home you grew up on. It might not be that farm or that for me, that ranch that I wish I could go back to here again soon. But you've got your own place. And it's probably different. Some of you go back and say, Pastor, I'm living in the same home that I grew up in. It's kind of neat, you know, as people get to do that. But even then, your neighbors are probably a little bit different. And your friends are different. You have different circles. Maybe your church is different. You have different people in your life. You probably have different work. And some of you don't have work now. Now you're retired and you've got your different group. But you might have a different place where you are employed or you're working at a different place. You know, probably most of us have worked in some different places at different times in our lives. You've got different people that are around you. Now it's not cousin so-and-so and uncle and aunt so-and-so and grandma and grandpa so-and-so and neighbor so-and-so and friend this and friend that and teacher. Now you've got a whole new set of people. You got a different mailman. You've got a different grocer maybe and the guy at the meat market. You've got different neighbors. You've got different relatives. Maybe they're closer. Maybe they're further away. Now you've got new nieces and nephews and grandchildren and in some cases great-grandchildren. You've got different people. You've got different neighbors. You've got different co-workers. You've got a different life. But what we're talking about here is your own country. And so when I say your own country, we could talk about two things. Where did you come from? Some of those people are still alive. Some of those people still need to be reached with the gospel. But for every one of you, you've got a new home now, and there are people in your life right now that need to be reached with the gospel. You know, as I illustrated, what was it last week? I illustrated in the morning service, and I had those guys. By the way, my family pointed out that I kept referring to there were 5 people up here, and there were 6. I'm still in elementary math, you know, trying to figure that out. 1, 2, Nehemiah helped me with that one. No, I'm just kidding. But my family said, Daddy, did you realize that there were only, that you had, what did I had 6 and I kept saying there were 5. Okay. The multiplication was just bigger, right? Okay. There were more people reached. I was into what I was trying to share with you. I think you got what I was trying to say. And now I forget what I was trying to say now. We've got people around us, as I was illustrating. You know, people that I, you know, Dwayne, he's sitting right here. I don't know who Dwayne's coworkers are. Maybe you would say, Pastor, you actually met one time at it. I don't, but I wouldn't be able to pick them out if I saw them. And honestly, I don't know that I have ever met any of his coworkers. He's got family that I've never met before. He's got neighbors. He's got neighbors that I don't know. Now I know some that live not too far down the road. But I don't know who lives next door, and he lives on the corner there. I don't know who lives across the street. I don't know who lives to the right, and I don't know who lives across the street in Caddy Corner. I don't know those people. And if I ever saw them at Giant or anywhere else, I wouldn't be able to identify them and say, hey, you're Dwayne Schwanger's neighbor. And honestly, I might not ever know them. Probably I won't. And I don't know how much of a chance I'm going to get to talk to those neighbors. I don't know where Dwayne really grew up. I don't know his stomping grounds. I don't know those friends that he used to hang out with. I don't know. One illustration that I give, and I could go around the room Some of you I've barely met and I don't know you because you've started coming here and whatever. I don't know who you rub shoulders with, but let's establish this. That's your home country. That's your own country. Jesus was familiar with these people. They were familiar with Him. He went back to His own country. Folks, I want to tell you something. We need to be about the world evangelism. We need to be about winning the world. But I'll tell you where it needs to start. It needs to start in our own country. And our own country sometimes can be the hardest. But in ways, it can be easy because we already know them. It's not a cold turkey thing. You know, I can go door to door and I can knock on a door and I've never seen them. They've never seen me. And some of you might say that's easier. Some of you might say that's harder. But you've got your acquaintances. You've got your people that you rub shoulders with. Everybody. You know, there's 60-some people here tonight. And I could go around the room and everybody's got their, in the illustration that I gave, they've got their 5. They've got their 10. They've got their 20. They've got their 30 or 40, and everybody's different. Some feel like they don't have many at all. But we've got the people in our lives. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, listen to this. I think we need to take note of what Jesus did. He went to His own country. And He did it in spite of what they were going to do. The passage says that they didn't accept Him. But you know what? They still heard. He went and He told them. He exposed Himself. He went back and He reasoned with them. He talked about them, about the things of the Lord. You know, you've heard me talk about your top 5 list. You heard your Discovery Bible study leader this morning talk about your top 5 list. You say, preacher, what are you talking about, your top 5 list? Can I put it in biblical words? It's your own country. It's going out to our own country. As I mentioned last week, it would be overwhelming for somebody to give me a commission, Sean, you need to win Elizabethtown and Mount Joy to me. Wow, if God gave me that commission, I would say overwhelming. And that is the church's responsibility and our earth's responsibility is to win the earth to the Lord. But He starts off in His own country. You know, I'm responsible for those people that I rub shoulders with. I've got a couple neighbors. I've got some people that, you know, that maybe I know, and some of you have more than I. You know, I work in an environment that's a little bit different. My environment's right here. But there's people in each one of our lives that we have. I want you to think just for a moment. Earlier, I had you remembering and reminiscing back to your childhood. A little bit later, then I pulled you into your life now, and I want you to think just for a few moments. Who are the people that are right now in your own country? They're more than what you think. Many of you have a fair amount of neighbors. I know some of you are in the country and you don't have that many neighbors, but we've got a lot of people living around us. We've got, in some cases, mailmen. We've got some people that deliver certain things to us. We've got those that we meet at the, you know, at the Y every Tuesday and as we exercise, or we go to the park and we have our normal walk of the dog. And as Frank was talking to me about his neighbors that walk their dogs and stuff like that, you know, there's things in common. You know, every one of us has people in our lives that God has given to us. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to reach out to those people. You recall in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, remember the context of Acts 1:8? Somebody tell me, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the beginning of the church, right? Remember, people were waiting for Pentecost. And Jesus had told them to go to this room and to wait. And there's approximately 120 people that go there and they wait and they're worshiping and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come that God had promised. He had promised them a comforter to come. And in Acts chapter 1, we see this come into fruition. It's going to take place and He comes. But I want you to notice what is said in verse 8. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both" where? In Jerusalem. And then where? In Judea. And then where? In Samaria. And then where? Into the uttermost. Did you catch the progression that was there? It was kind of like a radius. It was like, and first you should be witnesses where? Right here. And then where? In the region. And then where? Up to the north a little bit. And then where? Everywhere else. Brothers and sisters, I take this seriously. I believe that we can be a church that's filled with home with missions, and we can say, oh, we want to have missions, and we want to have a missionary on every continent, which, by the way, that's one of my goals. I'd like to have missionaries spread out. I'd love to have missionaries, but brothers and sisters, I care about this place right here because this is where God has put us. I care about the Chinese in China. I care about the Japanese in Japan. I care about the Norwegians in Norway. But I'll tell you, I care most about the people right here. I do. And I'm a pastor. Missionaries, you know, they've got these big visions. But every church has got to start its mission here. Honestly, how can we be effective in Japan if we're not effective here? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, every missionary that's getting called out better be asked by those churches that are wanting to take them on, are you active where you're at now? I would never want to take on a missionary that has no background of reaching out to the people who he's around. Think about that. If Joe Missionary is not effective in his hometown, with his home country, with the people that he grew up with or is rubbing shoulders with now, if he's not effective with those people, why do I think that he's going to move to Japan and be effective with those people? You see, God first calls us right here. Where are you tonight? Now that is a simple question. Where are you tonight? Your answer should be right here. What town are you in right now? Somebody give me the answer. Right now. You're in Mount Joy. What town do you live in? Now, there would be a variety of answers. Yeah. There's all kinds of different places where you're around. I want you to understand here that God's called you to that place. God's called you to those neighbors. God's called you to those coworkers. Coworkers that nobody else in this room will ever have a chance probably to get in contact with. Our world is too big for one person. But I'll tell you what, it's not too big for a group of 65 people. God's called you to reach the people around you. How would the world then be reached? Because you can argue with me and say, Pastor, but God wants us to win the world. He does. But the world will never and can never be reached unless we're reaching the people around us. Because see, when we reach the people around us, then that circle gets just a little bit bigger. And a little bit bigger. And a little bit bigger. That's how the United States is reached, and that's how the world is reached. We've gone over a lot of that, but I want to focus in. We've got just a couple minutes before we're supposed to close. When you hear us talking about top five, this is really what we're talking about. Who are the people that God has placed you in their lives right now at this time? Who is around you? You know what? You could give me a phone call and say, Pastor, I've got a neighbor that needs to hear the gospel. And I've already told you, I'll be there. I'm happy to come and help. But my friend, I'll tell you, I won't have the influence with your friend that you do. Because they don't know me. And I don't know them. But they know you. And hopefully you have a good testimony as a good neighbor, as a good coworker, as a good worker, as a good boss, as a good teammate, as a good whatever you are. Hopefully you have a good testimony. And hopefully they can look at you and say, you know what, I've got a good neighbor. I've got a good uncle, and I've got a good co-worker. I've got a good boss. I've got a good whatever. They're good people. I really appreciate them in their lives. God has placed you with those people who you're close to. When we ask you to get a top five, honestly, folks, it could be a lot worse. I could say, and I'm picking on Dwayne tonight, I could say, Dwayne, what street do you live on? What's that street?
Hylon.
Dwayne, I want you to reach Hylon. What's the next street over? Just give me any street.
Summit.
And another street.
Locust.
And one more. I know. Putting him on the spot.
Mountjoy.
Mountjoy Street. If I commissioned you, Duane, to win all those people to the Lord, would you feel a little overwhelmed? And likewise, right? But folks, understand something. You know, some of you were scared about this new DBS because you thought it was going to be all about, you know, just soul winning and reaching the world. Oh no, Pastor's asking me to be a missionary. Honestly, folks, you know, God wants us to reach the world, but He never commissioned any one person to do it. All of us can sit here and go like this. Whew. He didn't tell you to do that. I'm passionate about this because this is the key. God wants you to reach the people that are around you. You say, well, I don't know them. How do you think that will fly with the Lord? What do you think He'll say? Why didn't you get to know them? God has placed you in a unique mission field that nobody else will have. And that's what He's calling upon you. He's calling upon you to say, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, you've got a unique field that no one has. You say, well, there could be another neighbor that would claim the same neighbor, right? But your whole group of people that you know, nobody will ever have the same group exactly that you have. Because it's not just neighbors and it's not just coworkers. It's everybody in your life. And we happen to call this your top five group. It's just, again, it's just the people that are in your life. If you don't reach those people, who will? Are you going to pray for a missionary from China to come to minister to your neighbor? By the way, China's sending out more missionaries than America is. Is it going to come time where we've got to call China and ask them to come send missionaries because your neighbor needs the Lord? Do you get the problem? It's your neighbor. God has given them to you. He's given you your own country. And like Jesus, we need to go to our own country. Pastor, they're going to reject it. Well, you better try. If they reject, that is up to them. But you need to try. Just as Jesus did. He went and He tried. He went to Nazareth. He went and He preached and He shared with them the truth. They rejected. And then He went on. He went on to Judea. He went on to Samaria. He went on to other places. You've got your neighbor. You can call me and I'm happy to come, but I'll tell you what. You have inroads with your neighbor. Very practically, the top five is just a group of people that you connect with. You say, Pastor, I don't know them well. Get to know them. You don't have to start with a gospel tract saying, here I am. I've come to see you get saved. Otherwise, you're going to go to hell. No, you might want to just start. You say, Pastor, but I've lived next to them for 10 years and I've never reached out. It's time to. It's time to reach out to that neighbor. It's time to reach out to that coworker. You say, Pastor, I don't have liberty at work to share the gospel. You know what? We're living in such a day that, yeah, I can understand that, but you know what? Your work doesn't control what you do outside of the workplace. You could give them a call at home or go over and visit. Reach out to that coworker. Reach out to that mailman that comes by and say, you know what, I see you every day and you're faithful at delivering you my mail. I haven't been very faithful to you though. I want to give you something that's far better than any piece of mail that I could ever get. You know, it's time to meet that mailman. It's time to meet those people in our circles. And for some of you, you say, Pastor, I know them very much. Maybe it's time for you to start talking to them about eternity. God commissions us first to go into our own country. Some of you are sitting here tonight and scared to death. You say, Pastor, why did you have to preach that tonight? You just ruined my day. My goal wasn't to ruin your day, but I want to tell you, God has commissioned you. He's commissioned us to do His ministry. in your country. In your country. As I close, I want you to reminisce again. I want you to go back to the time when somebody in your own country, you in their country, shared the gospel with you. It might have been a parent. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a neighbor. It might have been a coworker. Somebody reached out and within their own country shared the gospel with you. I ask you the question, are you thankful that they did their work? Amen. 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 God can do it. He could push a button and He could have you be saved, but that's not His plan. He wants you to hear through the spreading of His word through people. That's what He's ordained. God has called each one of you, if you're a Christian here today, to reach out to your Jerusalem, your own country. And what your Discovery Bible Study leaders are asking you is to simply put the names down of those people. For some of you, you've got far more than five. Start with five. Pray about it. Write down those five. Some of you, you say, I struggle to get five. Write down three. Some of you, you say, I struggle to get three. Write down one and start. And what I want to encourage you with is this. If you don't have that many people, I want to encourage you to start praying that God would give you someone. Now, don't ask God to give you someone that you don't or you're not willing to look for. Honestly, we don't have to look too far to find somebody that needs the Lord. But I want to encourage you to start praying. I don't have anybody in my life. Do you think, I'm just asking you this question, do you think that if you would pray that prayer, that would be a prayer that God would want to answer? What do you think? I don't think there's any room to say no, because that would be impossible. That would be counter to His mission. God does want you to. Honestly, folks, you can sit here this evening and say, I have no one in my life. And I'll tell you what, that is not true. But if you don't have anyone, God will give you somebody really quick if you'll ask Him. Ask Him and see what God would do. Honestly, every one of us could easily get five people that we need to minister to. You don't have to know them. You don't even have to know their name. But it might be that guy that you see at the grocery store every week because he goes at the same time you do. Or maybe it's the guy you get your gas from every week. Or maybe it's, I don't know who it is. But I believe that God wants us to reach our own people. And honestly, humanly, that's the only way our community can be reached. The only way is people reaching their own. Are you willing to go to your own country? And I'm going to end with a statement. God does give us a choice. He does not force us. But as far as the Bible is concerned, He commands us to. It is your responsibility to go to your neighbor. It's your responsibility to go to your coworker. Let's make sure that we're reaching out to those people. And I want to encourage you, very positively, just be praying. And if you're a person here tonight and you say, I don't have anybody that I put on this morning, I don't have anyone. Would you be willing to pray and think through who could you put on? It doesn't mean as soon as you put them on there, you've got to go knock on their door with an open Bible. But it does mean maybe you just start praying, God, I'm scared to death and I don't know how to talk to this coworker, this neighbor. I don't even know what I would do. But I'm just asking that you would open up some extraordinary miracle of an opportunity. You say, Pastor, would it be wrong for me to pray that my neighbor would even ask me something that I could easily just almost have to talk about something spiritual? I think that would be a great prayer. Because God can do that. Maybe it'd be somebody that you could just pass a tract out to. Pray for somebody to reach out to. It is our responsibility. I hope that helps understand a little bit about where we're coming from with this top five.
list. Father, would you help us? Lord, would you help us to understand what we're trying to do? Lord, this ministry that we're trying, as we're getting started this morning, is so many faces to it. We've got the discovery part. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful thing for 70. I think this morning we had, 72 or so people, 71, 72 people in our Sunday school hour this morning, some Sunday school of the younger, some in Discovery Bible study. We had some 70 people in our room, in our building this morning. Lord, what an opportunity for every person to come. And this ministry is all about coming and just discovering some truth. Lord, I pray that everyone would learn to discover some things from the truth so that they can go home and obey it. Lord, what an amazing thing. One of the reasons why we're doing this is so people can discover truth and then go home and obey it. What a grand thing for our church, for people to benefit from the scriptures and from other people and the blessings and the encouragement. Oh Lord, I pray that we would discover and obey. And I praise the Lord if that's what happens. But Lord, there's a third element to it. We discover good. We obey. Praise the Lord. God, help us to share as well. Help us to reach out to those people that you've put around us. That we could somehow meet the need of eternity in their lives. Lord, help us. Help us. Give us those people. Burden our hearts. Give us the strength. Give us the situations. Give us open doors and open opportunities. Lord, help us to be good neighbors and demonstrate your word and truth through how we act. Lord, help us that that become a part of our lives. Lord, help us. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.